Ready to order here, and we have Senator Stedman, Senator Kukesh, and myself, Stevens. We're going to be hearing Senator Wilkins' Bill 219, the Community Dividend Program, today. We won't be moving it out, but we'll be listening to that, to the plan, and also just to point out that I think there are at least four other revenue sharing community dividend plans that we'll be hearing bills. The Commission on Communities that met this summer and fall has a bill on ledge legal, and so that'll be coming to you, Senator Wilkin, shortly, and of course the governor's bill. So several bills that deal with this issue. Senator Wilkin, thank you very much for being here. Be glad to hear your testimony. And I want to thank you for the analysis you've done of all of the programs, all of the potential bills out there.
I can assure you that I stayed up late whipping Sheila to get that done. thank you, Senator Stevens, for hearing the bill, and Senator Stedman for skipping the resource hearing, and Senator Kukesh for making a quorum for this bill. For the second week in the session, this seems like it's like the end of the session today. But this is a community dividend suggestion, and if I'd like to do two things before I answer any questions, maybe just review for the moment what you have in your packets. You have the sponsor statement. You, of course, have a copy of the bill, Senate Bill 219, Committee Substitute. You have the fiscal notes as presented by the agencies. You have a sheet entitled SB 219 Community Dividend Estimates developed by Community Commerce Economic Development, showing where the proceeds would go across the state. You have a sheet called Cities in Various Stages of Inactivity and Dissolution that seems to be a general topic of conversation, and there's all sorts of variations of this information, but I think this is the chart that tells us that is a place for us to start. You have a summary that Sheila was good enough to do, showing what we think to be all the community or the revenue sharing issues in front of us as of yesterday. I think it tries to pull together what each of the bills does. And it's marked draft because we would suggest that this is changing as it marches through this committee and other committees. And as we find out different things about these different bills, it was Sheila's hope and my hope that we use this as sort of a way to track these bills as they march through. And I suspect they're all going to march through and eventually meet in the finance committees in each body as we decide what, if anything, to do. So that should be your packets.
And thank you, Senator. Before we get it, you're going to be presenting the CS. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So maybe we need a motion before us to adopt the CS for discussion purposes.
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we adopt for discussion purposes the CS for Senate Bill Number 219, Version Y.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Any objection to that? All right. We have before us then CS. Senator Wilkin.
Thanks, Senator Stevens. And with your indulgence, I'd like to read the sponsor statement into the record. Senate Bill 219 creates a sustainable community dividend program to share state revenue with Alaska's local municipal governments and unincorporated communities. The proposed community dividend program is in response to concerns expressed by communities throughout Alaska. Higher costs of basic living and government needs, coupled with diminished traditional state support, have placed greater financial burdens on all local governments, large and small alike. Under Senate Bill 219, the funding source for the new community dividend program is structured to be sustainable, the most important aspect of any meaningful state revenue sharing plan. One-third of the funds come from each of the following sustainable sources: the earnings of the Amrata Hess subaccount of the permanent fund, two, the constitutional budget reserve, and three, the permanent fund earnings reserve account. Senate Bill 219 provides $70 per person for all municipalities and unincorporated communities. Additionally, each municipality that is a school district and is meeting the 4-mil local contribution school requirement will receive an additional $30 for a total of $100 per resident. The Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development will issue the dividends to Alaskan communities on July 1st of the year following the actual legislative appropriation. This one-year delay will allow local governments to build an operating budget based on firm numbers. There will be no need for budget writers to wait for the legislature to take action before drafting and passing their annual budgets. Alaskans have enjoyed the benefit of their individual permanent fund dividend for many years. The time has come to share the state's wealth with our communities. Senate Bill 219 utilizes three robust and sustainable revenue sources to provide each Alaskan community an annual dividend, and I respectfully request your support. Before I answer your questions, there's lots of stories that fly around this state and around this building and from all of our constituents and those that want to talk to us and influence public policy. And I think the cry we've heard from communities has been real. But I introduce this bill because I'm concerned that this legislature will fund the best sob story and leave some people out. If we're going to share the wealth, which we all know we're truly blessed above any state to have the resources we have, then we should share that wealth equally. And this bill makes an attempt to do that. So the first question that's in front of this legislature in the next 100 days is, do we want a community dividend? And if we do want it, to what level? And if once we decide on that level, what's the funding source? I would hope that all of us see the folly in funding it out of the general fund. Been there, done that. And I believe, as I'm sitting here today, that we are going to run in to budget deficit problems just as we had a short 3 years ago. It, not next year, it may not be the following year, but it will be in a very short period of time, 5 or 10 years. So let's just all agree to that and stay away from the general fund for these types of things, that we set up a program that people expect and are deserving of. Let's set that up and have the courage to go to the assets that are available and sustainable. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions. I know there's a couple folks that want to talk to you online, but I'll stand by and make myself available however you would wish.
Thank you, Senator Wilkin. I certainly have some questions I know here at the table, but in addition, we have some people who would like to testify. I know Wayne Stevens has indicated he has to leave shortly, so Wayne, did you want to comment now at this point, and we'll give you a chance to, all right? If you'd comment up, Wayne. I've known Wayne for some 30 years, I suppose, and I just want to make sure everyone knows he is not my son.
Twin brother, maybe?
Our secret's out, Uncle. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Senator Stevens, members of the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee. I just wanted to let you know that the Alaska State Chamber of Commerce supports a sustainable community dividend program. State Chamber supports Senate Bill 219, and we appreciate Senator Wilkin's efforts in reestablishing a municipal revenue sharing program. State Chamber urges the legislature to implement a sustainable community dividend using an endowment management method to provide local tax relief to business and families and to assist in providing basic public services throughout Alaska. That is our legislative priority. It's one of our top six. Without a revenue sharing program, local communities are forced to pay property taxes or limit basic public services. This affects the ability of a local business to stay profitable or find a suitable location to operate. We urge the legislature to pass a bill this year that encompasses a sustainable community dividend. As one of our top priorities, we are hopeful the legislature will find some common ground in creating a sustainable community dividend program. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Appreciate your comments. Appreciate your being here. Thank you. Coming back to the committee here, Senator Wilkin, could you just comment on, certainly I understand the issue of sustainability and how important it is that it not come from the general fund, which would would never know from year to year. The governor has, I believe, has recommended that it come, that, his recommendations from the Amaretta Hess. You've expanded it to three sources, Amaretta Hess, the CBR, and the Earnings Reserve Account. Could you just comment on the rationale moving using funds from all three of those equally?
Well, one, they fit the criteria of being sustainable, and they're robust. There's billions in each account, or certainly in Amaretta Hess. I like the idea of the Amaretta Hess, just setting that aside for a particular purpose, and so we don't have to have the Amaretta Hess argument every year. Here's a widespread support to take that revenue stream of some amount and put it to good use. So you take $26 million and set it aside, and we don't have to talk about it every year and argue over it. We don't really want another Rail Belt Energy Fund. So, and then the other two are really, as this issue works its way through the legislature, in the bill there's a provision that if the draw would pull the CBR below $1 billion, then that draw wouldn't be allowed. So there has to be another revenue source. And if you weren't able to take it out of the Amaretta Hess and fulfill the needs of the communities, there'd have to be another source. And the earnings reserve, absolutely positive that this is a valid use of the earnings reserve. And as we work through it, we've looked, we can take, these are just finance numbers, but we can take $26 million out of Amaretta Hess, and it still grows. That corpus is spinning, still grows, according to the Department of Revenue. We can take out of there, we're going to earn $76 million this year in the CBR, and next year 100 and low hundreds. So we're just going to take what amounts to, if we took another, say, $20 million out of the CBR, we're only going to use a third, a fourth of the earnings of the CBR. If we took the other, say, $20 million out of the earnings reserve, we had the Department of Revenue run a report, and if you took $20 to $23 million over the next 10 years each year out of the earnings reserve, the total change in the cumulative effect on the permanent fund dividend check over 10 years is a total of $49. So an Alaskan citizen that collected all 10 checks would get 10 checks worth approximately $20,000. And that would be diminished by $49 at the end of those 10 years. So you look at those three revenue sources, and they all just feed into what we hopefully will agree is a proper expenditure of money. And it gives us some flexibility. If the CBR is below $1 billion, then this group, whoever's here, has to decide, is there any more to take out of Amaretta Hess? Or are we going to take more out of the earnings reserve? Or are we going to just diminish the dividend, and a year from now the communities will have less? That's the decision, and I think that gives us the flexibility to provide a sustainable dividend every year that everyone can bank on.
Thank you, Senator Wilkins. So your understanding is that it would not necessarily be one-third from each, but that it could vary as the needs arise.
The bill today contemplates a third out of each. We've had some discussions up to this point, and when the bill comes back, I think the wiser way to do it is to take some amount from the Amaretta Hess, which would be more than a third, and then backfill or just split the remainder 50-50.
Right.
So in rough numbers, this bill is worth about $62 million. And so you'd take revenue, saying $26 or $28 million. You split that, what's left, so you're going to take about $20 million out of the earnings reserve, or $18 million out of the earnings reserve and the CBR.
Thank you, Senator. I'd like to recognize Senator Ellis is with us, as well as Representative Moses and Representative Thomas. Thank you for being here as well. Senator Stedman.
Yes, a couple things I think we should talk about. One of them is the overall state fiscal position this year that seems to be fairly robust by all expectations, which you alluded to is most likely a change in the future. And the issue of going into the permanent fund earnings reserve in such a year. And then the other item I'd like you to touch bases on, and maybe there's fellows here that would like to speak to it also, is that we're grappling statewide with an underfunded pension and benefit liability, upwards of around $6 billion. And some of that sits in the lap of the communities, the cities and the boroughs. Does this funding mechanism that we're talking about today, is how much of that help to the communities is targeted for their pension liability, or is this a whole other separate issue that we're going to have a whole different funding mechanism that's going to have to be created?
I think, Senator Stedman, that we should be staying away from telling the local folks where to spend their money. And if in Fairbanks's case and the North Star Borough, if this bill provides $8 million to the Assembly and to the city councils, they're elected to decide what to do with that money. So we've targeted those that have support their schools with the school support supplement. That's about as far as I would be comfortable with telling people where they should be spending what amounts to their money. Let's leave it up to those that are elected to provide that local governance and let them decide what's best.
Mr. Chairman, can I follow?
Yes, Mr. President.
Yeah, let me clarify the question. I guess there's two ways we can do it. One of them is direct appropriations into the trust, and the other one's appropriations to the communities and cities, leaving them up to decide whether to, you know, do a street, a pothole, municipal maintenance, what have you, police departments, or fund their PERS and TERS liability at the local level. So when we allocate this $63 million into the communities, is that going to relinquish our portion of our voluntary help, because it's their liability, or voluntary help to the communities to fund that payroll increase that they're faced for the next possibly decade and a half or maybe longer?
Through the chair, Senator Stedman, it's not my intention to mix PERS, TERS responsibilities with this particular piece of legislation. I would hope that PERS, TERS doesn't take away from community funding any more than it can take away from education or transportation or resource development. It's a separate and apart issue that I would hope that we would keep that way as we start to sort through the ARM board's suggestions on how to take care of that particular problem. But I don't think it washes over into the community dividend, at least at the state level. If my borough wants to spend their $8 million on their PERS and TERS, then that's their decision, and they're held accountable for that.
Thank you. Further questions from the committee? Senator Wilkins, I want to make sure I understand how we've divided things. I'm looking at the division by community you've got, and just so we understand it, could we take, for example, Fairbanks and the Fairbanks North Star Borough? Now, as I understand, there's no doubling up here. The city is funded per person, and then when you figure out the borough, then it's education for the whole area. Could you just sort of run us through those two figures as an example of how we arrived at them?
Mr. Chairman, it's a good question, and it's that question was asked not too long ago, and that's why we have a CS, because the amendment that was put in took care of that. It's helpful to think of, in my head, I'm thinking of a bubble, which is the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and then inside the bubble there's two smaller bubbles, and one is Fairbanks and one's North Pole. So the way this would work, the whole bubble would get $70. The whole bubble would get 70. Back up. The two bubbles, Fairbanks and North Pole, would get, oh, She's my bubble.
I'm so thankful Sheila is here to draw the bubble picture for you.
Here's just the bubble that I'm talking about. So Fairbanks and North Pole, they get their $70. The borough gets their $70, but because they run the school district, they get the school support supplement of $30.
So the borough does not get $70 for the population that lives within the two smaller bubbles.
Yeah. That's right. And that's what that amendment clarified, right, how to describe the bubbles.
Right. So, thank you.
So there is no double county.
Right.
And
yeah.
Can we get a laminated copy of that?
For your desk?
Yes. My desk.
Senator Wilkin, one of the things the task force that met this summer on communities, one of the things that came across very clearly is that we didn't want to do anything that would discourage the formation of boroughs. Do you see this in any way impacting the formation of boroughs in the future? What I'm getting at is, let's say, funding smaller communities, then they'd be happy with that and then never move on to becoming organized boroughs. And if that is the goal of the Constitution, and it seems to be, any thoughts on that?
Well, I would hope it doesn't. Having said that, there's been discussion about, well, there's no minimum. You know, everybody gets the 70 or everybody gets the 100. And my response to that is to, one, let's treat everybody the same. And two, I think the conversation begins if this town and this community are not getting a minimum, that they have, the conversation begins on how they can pool their state resources, the monies to consolidate, and how can they help each other make that money go further. I think that's what one of the discussions that comes by not having a minimum. So I don't think, Senator Stevens, that this has much to do with either helping or hindering. Obviously, you'd get $30 more if you decided to support your local schools. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. But beyond that, I don't think this is a backdoor way to organize. It's just a way to share the wealth. And if it brings local governance to those places that have the capacity and are ready to step up, then that's a part of this bill, wonderful. But I don't think it's a big part of it, if any.
Okay. Thank you, Senator. Any further questions? We have several people who would like to speak to us and comment on this. Senator Wilkin, and I'll go ahead and ask them to speak now. And you can just stay there for a minute if you'd like. Mayor Hornaday and Homer, are you with us, Jim?
I am, Senator. Thank you.
Good to have you with us. Any comments you may have?
Yes. Thank you for the opportunity. My name is James Hornaday. I am the mayor of Homer, and I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you today. I am not the best person with figures, but I do want to read a resolution that the city of Homer passed. I believe that Senator Stevens already has it, but I'll read it into the record and leave a copy. Whereas Alaska's great wealth is generated by the natural resources of regions, communities, and cities throughout the state, and whereas other states share their resources with their communities, and whereas it is in the interest of the state of Alaska to share a portion of this natural resource wealth with communities of the state in order to enhance and continue the positive economic growth throughout Alaska, and whereas the state of Alaska currently has over $32 billion in the Alaska Permanent Fund and a budget surplus exceeding $1 billion this fiscal year, and whereas the state ceased to fund all revenue-sharing programs in 2003, and whereas the elimination of revenue-sharing had a significant negative effect on the ability of Alaska cities and boroughs to provide essential service with communities forced to reduce essential services and or increase local taxes, and we did increase our sales tax fees and economic hardships, and whereas restoration of a revenue-sharing program would provide communities with funding to reduce local taxes, build infrastructure, grow the state economy, provide for increased quality of life, and in some cases provide for the survival of small communities. Now, to therefore be resolved that the Homer City Council urges the state to share revenue with all Alaskan communities and agrees with the following. One, that the state of Alaska is urged to resume revenue sharing or a similar substitute program with communities for fiscal year 2007 in the amount of no less than $75 million. Each community will receive a minimum payment of $75,000. The balance after payment of the minimum will be allocated on a per capita basis and services provided per instructions on Form G entitled State Revenue Sharing FY04 Summary Sheet. Distribution in cases where one or more communities lies within a borough would be allocated in proportion to the relative population of and services provided by each community, including the borough. Two, the legislature and governor, with collaboration from the Alaska Municipal League, should develop a revenue sharing program that is sustainable and meets the goal of sharing the revenue of the state. Examples of the programs they could consider, as well as others, include a $1 per barrel program. Under this plan, $1 per barrel in revenues from annual oil production would be distributed through a revenue sharing program. B, an endowment program. Under this program, a portion of state revenues would be set aside in an endowment with the annual proceeds used for a revenue sharing program. C, percentage of market value. D, community dividend. E, constitutional budget reserve. And three, that the application form be modeled after the Department of Community and Economic Development form last entitled State Revenue Sharing FY04 Summary Sheet. Like many other communities, we're faced with a tremendous increase in costs. I had the misfortune of being elected the mayor the first year that the state revenue sharing was reduced to zero, and we were looking at $1 million deficit. As I say, we did raise our sales taxes. We now have a sales tax of total of 6.5% when you include the borough. So we're certainly doing our share to help pay our expenses. We have a number of priorities, such as a water treatment plant upgrade, an alternative water source facility study, deep water dock expansion, the Ketchikan Bay College expansion, a new city hall, Skyline Drive, fire station, Homer intersection improvements, Spit Trail, Harbor pedestrian and bike pathway. We have a new library coming on board that's going to cost $300,000 more to run. We're told that our contribution to the PERS program will exceed, the increase will exceed $1 million. So we do encourage you. I've been looking at the documents in regards to the community dividend program. Again, I'm not the best person to deal with the figures as a bean counter, but I certainly encourage your committee and to proceed towards some type of revenue sharing with the communities, which I believe almost every other state does share. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. As I say, we have at least four or maybe five bills dealing with revenue sharing, so please keep in close watch of these as they move ahead. What's Augustine doing down there today?
Well, it's puffing. I haven't seen any ash, but it does continue to puff. Some people claim that we are getting some ash. I don't know. It seemed like the last time it went off, we just sent the kids out to play in the ash, but now they're telling us that's not healthy, and it kind of reminds me of when we used to run around in the DDT spray. Maybe that explains some things. I don't know.
No, we won't go there, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much for your comments. I appreciate your being here.
Well, thank you, and thank you to the committee.
Thank you. In Fairbanks, we have Randy Frank. Mr. Frank, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
Okay, my name's Randy Frank. You want my address also?
No, that's okay.
Yeah, I live in Fairbanks. I am a member of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, but today I'm speaking on my own. I do not represent the Assembly, so don't take that into account here. I am very much in favor of this, as I think many other people are here, some sort of a community dividend program. I like this one here. I think we should look at the word sustainable. To me, it's very much an operative term. It brings, I think, along with it an expectation that this is going to be something that we can count on in years to come, especially if it is set up on a year's delay so that we know what's coming to us before we make up our budgets. That's always been a problem in years past for our budget. We don't know exactly what's coming from the state. The dividing of the income stream, I think, is very important. This gives, I think, a little less shoulder to or burden to shoulder on each of the three different revenue sources, and it, I think, allows a lot of flexibility, which is really needed here. We have a similar problem in the Fairbanks North Star Borough that was caused somewhat by the reduction and elimination of revenue sharing, and that is our service areas. We have 109 service areas, and many of them formed just for the purpose of getting state money. And that money dried up, and now they are actually unable to keep up with their needs and their maintenance. And we're looking at now ways of eliminating or getting those service areas that are in that predicament to maybe join with other service areas so that they can draw on a wider or larger group of residents to be able to fund their needs. I always worry about free money coming to us and then being cut off in low oil dollar years that causes problems that we are not able to keep up with. But I really like this idea here.
Thank you, Mr. Frank. I appreciate you being with us. Tim Beck is also there in Fairbanks. Mr. Beck?
Yes, sir. I am here. Tim Beck. I'm here as I'm also a member of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly, and I'm also a member of the Board of Directors for the Alaska Municipal League. Senator Welker, Senator Stevens, and committee members, I thank for the opportunity to participate in this. I heard three questions that Senator Welker started the program off with. And do we want a program? I believe we do. That answer is yes. At what level of support? I think it needs to be large enough to be meaningful and not a token effort on behalf of the legislature. And the thing that I'm really excited about in reading in the summary that the Senator Wilkin provided is that the funding source that is sustainable, and I view that as the key to the entire program. And I'd also like to thank Senator Wilkin and others that are working on these other ideas to reinstate, if you will, the municipal revenue sharing in a different fashion. And I do concur that while it's difficult to share everything equitably, it would appear that there's a mechanism there that I think that could work. With that, I'm going to sign off, be as brief as I can, and thank you again for the opportunity to speak to this, and good luck in your endeavors on this, on our behalf as residents of this great state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Becker. I appreciate your testimony. Coming back to Juno here, we have Bill Rolfson, who's here for questions with the Commerce and Economic Development. And also we have Mr. Kevin Ritchie from the Alaska Municipal League, who I believe you have some comments to make. Kevin, if you'd come forward, please. No, we want to get you on the record, and we want to see if the senator can move quickly there to please set up here if you want. Thank you, Kevin.
Thank you.
And I do want to say I appreciate all of your participation in the task force this summer, the commission, and your willingness to spend a lot of time and effort and travel to make sure you made our meetings. Thank you for that.
And thank you all. And I'd like to say that this is our favorite committee in the Senate to go to. And we have a similar committee in the House that we like to.
But Senator Wilkins is always one of your favorites as well, though, isn't it? I mean, you've got to admit that.
It's nice to talk about municipal issues and making things better, and that's one of the things that the committee is structured to do. So I appreciate that very much, and certainly appreciate the rest of the legislature, appreciate this bill. The Alaska Municipal League each year gets together to develop a policy statement. This is the policy statement developed for 2006. The Municipal League does support use of permanent fund earnings, and obviously some of that is in the mix for this bill. I think Senator Wilkin put it really well. The value of permanent fund dividends over the next 20 years, or 10 years, I think it was about $20,000. This very small amount would barely be noticeable, about $5 per year on the average. And then, of course, you get that $5, and the federal government takes taxes out of that. This would be in that same area, $70 to $100 of tax relief each year, and that is taken from government to government. So there's never a federal income tax issue, and it makes it a very efficient way to get relief to communities as well as businesses. Just real briefly, The two things that this bill would do is provide substantial tax relief, which is a business priority as well as a priority of a lot of communities these days. And the second thing it does is it keeps small communities viable. The reason why that's good for Alaska, I think everybody in this room, and I hope everybody in the state, has a real deep feeling for everybody in the state, not just people in a particular area. But having said that, too, as a business issue, we're actually brought closer together economically by our great distances. And that sounds kind of funny, but a lot of jobs in urban areas are there because they serve rural areas. Some of the estimates that I think it was the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation had is 1 out of 8 jobs are based on trade with other areas of the state. So anyway, with that, I want to thank you. The revenue sharing program is a sustainable, community dividend is a sustainable concept. We had a revenue sharing program for 35 years, albeit a diminishing one. We're very enthusiastic about working with you on making that a sustainable program that really provides long-term tax relief and helps small communities. The one area that we would like to talk more about, and you may hear more about this, but like a school district, a small community, whether you've got 100 people or whether you've got 1,000, whether you've got 10,000, there are certain things that really have to be done in terms of record keeping and holding meetings and all that sort of thing. This bill wouldn't really provide substantial relief to a very small community, say 100, 200, 300 people, in terms of doing the kind of record keeping and keeping the lights on and paying the heating bills and so on. And so we would like to work in that area, but we think this is a wonderful, positive start for the discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ritchie. The DCED has published, it's in our packet, January 13th, cities in various stages of inactivity, and there are 3 confirmed closed doors, 8 inquired about dissolution, another 8 did not report certified election information, a number not submitted a budget, others in financial debt, and others without workman's compensation, and cities who contracted out all municipal services, and also many cities who the DCA is watching closely. So that's a very interesting document to realize that so many communities, small communities, are in serious difficulties. Yes, Senator Stedman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'd like the representative from AML to address the previous question given to Senator Wilken as far as the potential of a double or triple dip by the communities into different resource pots or revenue pots at the state and helping them or assisting them in their financial predicament that they're faced. And more of an inclusive answer, including the PERS and TERS liability. And I'd like you to also address, if you would please, the flyer that you have out, which talks about the maximum contribution rate of 20% of payroll, and who's going to pay this liability?
Obviously, the full story is for another committee, in terms of all the liability, but just in very general terms, the total liability, which is the money that the state should have in the account but doesn't have in the account to pay the current liabilities over the next, 25 years or so, we should have about $6 billion more in that account today. In very rough terms, about half of that liability, about $3 billion, is local government, school districts, and the university. On a municipal level, we went for many, many years with rates 5% of salary, 7% of salary, 10% of salary, which seemed, it just seemed like it would never end, and most municipalities didn't really think too much about the retirement system. Right now, what the actuaries have said is that to get to where we need to be putting about 40% of all the salaries paid into the retirement system to make it work on the average. And what the state has been doing in response to that is increasing the PERS rates for employers 5% per year for the past several years. And so municipalities have seen their one municipality, I mean, the rates are different for each municipality, but one may have seen their rate be 7%, 12%, 17%, 23%, and so on for the past several years. Now, what that means for a municipality is a municipal government is very likely to spend about 60 to 75% of its budget on salaries. So when you have maybe a 25% of salary increase, that's a big hit to absorb for local taxpayers. In school districts, you're probably looking closer to 85 or 90% or more for salaries in their budget. So obviously the impact for schools is very large as well. With that background, how we pay the bills in Alaska, I think the Constitution really envisioned state and local government working together to figure out a way to have the least impact on the people who pay the taxes. And whether it's a state tax or local tax, it's the same people would pay it ultimately. I can't answer Senator Stedman's question directly, except that the legislature is working on getting its arms around the problem, and the new Alaska Retirement Management Board has also got a report that it's bringing to the legislature to help get their arms around it. The specific issue that Senator Stedman brought up was the Alaska Municipal League in November passed a resolution saying that, you know, given the fact that PERS rates have traditionally been in the 5 to 10 to 12% range, that there's probably some rate limit that is about fair for a community to pay for retirement and affordable to pay for retirement costs. And that number was proposed at 20% of all salaries paid going into retirement system. Now, how you get from what it may cost in addition to 20% to what you have to pay is obviously going to be the subject of a lot of discussion. In preliminary discussions with the Alaska Retirement Management Board, I went to their meeting, and they are going to bring that up as a discussion with the legislature, is having some sort of a top level on the PERS or the PERS rates anyway. And I can't answer it concretely, and I hope that helps.
Let me follow up with Senator Seven.
Yes, let me recraft the question. If we exclude the schools and we exclude the state and we just look at the municipalities that are involved in the bill in front of us today, because that's the point of discussion, the concern that I have is that there's a need for revenue help at the state from the state to the cities. But clearly there's this PERS liability that rests as a liability to the municipalities. It's not our liability as a state. Okay. I feel it's a state obligation to help the municipalities at a time when their revenue gets so squeezed and they have a hard time in their general fund to respond to economic shocks. And this clearly, my definition, is an economic shock when you have such an escalation in rates over a period of, and then you're going to have to hold them there for a long time. To ignore that piece of the puzzle and potentially tie up the revenue streams that we may need partially or wholly to tackle this other problem, I think is a dangerous road to go down. I think we're better off to look at the help to the municipalities in the entirety and not segment it, where in 2 months the municipalities are sitting right in those very same chairs asking for a whole other revenue stream for other municipal assistance cloaked in this PERS liability that I think some communities are even having trouble grasping that it's even their liability. And we'll get into that debate at another table on that dollar amount and what went on. I remember sitting on the assembly in Sitka when that rate was way down under 10%, and what happened was there was a balloon up in the general fund on employees. And that rate was an unsustainable rate that didn't even carry the normal service costs. So we'll take on that for another day. So, I mean, that's some of the issues with this particular bill that concerned me is one of them is this liability out there, and the other one is dealing with the permanent fund in an era when we have unprecedented excess revenue expectations over expenditure. But we'll work through that out, and I think this is a really nice piece of or nice set of database for us to work from and build from.
Thank you, Senator Stebbin. Further questions of Mr. Ritchie? Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Mayor Canlis, Valerie Canlis in Wrangell, are you with us, Madam Mayor?
This is Valerie McCandless, and I'm here.
Yeah, yes, go ahead, please.
We have some static on our machine. Just a moment, please.
Anyone hear that? I'm sorry. Again, Valerie Candles, are you there? If you're not there, we'll move on and come back to you later.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, and we have Jennifer Uhas in Fairbanks speaking for the Fairbanks Borough. Jennifer, glad to have you with us. If we have you with us. Are you there, Jennifer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have Michael Lamb's testimony before me. He had to leave for a prior engagement.
Okay, Mr. Lamb, please go ahead.
I'm reading Mr. Lamb's testimony.
Oh, I see. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. This is from Michael Lamb, the Chief Financial Officer of the Fairbanks North Star Borough. And he states, on behalf of the 86,000 residents of the Fairbanks North Star Borough, I would like to speak in support of the Sustainable Community Dividend Program to share state revenue with Alaska's local municipal governments proposed by Senate Bill 219 Community Dividend Program. The Fairbanks North Star Borough has felt the financial burden of diminished state support for programs our community depends upon, most notably CMPG, our roads, health and social service programs, and retirement funding. The plan proposed by this legislation offers a balanced approach for sustainable source of community support that allows us to build an operating budget on firm numbers as we meet our community's basic needs. We fully support the provision of this legislation that recognizes communities who support school funding and the increasing costs associated with that responsibility. I adamantly support a sharing program, and I think this proposal, SB 219, has a funding mechanism that allows for sustainability and future predictability and removes the predictable future conflict in using general funds for such a program. Thank you for the opportunity to address this issue today before the committee. I respectfully request that you offer your full support of this legislation today in moving this legislation to the Senate Finance Committee with a recommendation of due pass. And that concludes Mr. Lamb's testimony.
Thank you, Jennifer, for reading Mr. Lamb's testimony. I appreciate you being with us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We have Leslie Riddle and Elaine Price. Leslie from the Anchorage Mayor's Office, who is listening in, and Elaine Price, also from Kauffman Cove, listening in. We'll go on to Dave Tallarico, the mayor of Denali Borough. Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I'm here.
Good to hear you again. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify today, and I'm very excited about the community dividend program bill here that that Senator Wilken has come up with. Several of the things that I think are key features here that are very important that Senator Wilken had mentioned, and I think I'm very supportive of her that the funds basically are used for any municipal or community purpose. I think that goes right along with Alaska's Constitution, that we're going to have strong cities and strong boroughs. And I do consider Senator Wilken to be an expert as far as funding sources are concerned, and I think his funding mechanism is very appropriate for this and very sustainable, and I certainly do appreciate his efforts. One concern that I do have is I am a supporter of some type of minimum base amount for small communities, so that actually to for those communities, in order for them to operate, by my own numbers, someone that would not be funding their schools and maybe was in a community of 150 people would get about $10,500 from this. And I think, in the spirit of a community dividend, I would like to see at least some type of base amount that would help these people operate. and I could be incredibly supportive of this if somehow or another a minimum base amount was inserted in the bill. But I certainly do appreciate what Senator Wilken has brought ahead, and I think it's certainly working towards a resolution to create a municipal investment for the state of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and also appreciate your involvement in this throughout the last summer and fall as you've been involved and testified to the commission as well. We also have with us to testify the mayor of King Cove, Gary Henney. Gary, are you with us?
Mr. Chairman, actually, I'm the city manager, not the mayor.
Of course you are. I knew that.
Hey,
we
had
the wrong thing down. Glad you could be with us, Gary. Go ahead.
Thank you. Chairman Stevens, Senator Wilken, and committee members, my name is Gary Hennig, and I've been city manager for King Cove for the last 15 years. And most of you probably know that King Cove is one of the larger coastal communities in southwest Alaska that is fortunate enough to have a modest economic base due to our location adjacent to the rich fishing grounds of the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea. We certainly applaud Senator Wilken for his effort with Senate Bill 219, and we certainly understand and underscore the fact that it has to have a sustainability mechanism so that we city managers and city administrators certainly have something tangible around which we can each year put together a budget and provide services that people in the far reaches of rural Alaska need. Just by way of a little bit of quick history, when revenue sharing and municipal assistance dried up back in 2003, the city of King Cove immediately said, we've got to do something to help ourselves. So we increased our local sales tax 25%, and we also initiated what we think is probably a one-of-a-kind fisheries business impact tax on our only processor in King Cove, which, needless to say, was not very popular with them, but it was the right thing to do. We also like the financial parameters that you can find in Representative Moses' House Bill 28, simply because, as proposed, that dollar amount gets a little bit closer to where our anticipation would be. But in that regard, we're reasonable, and we're trying to come up with some measure to judge reasonableness on a community dividend bill, and we're thinking that something along the lines of maybe the average of the three highest years for the last 10 years that municipal assistance and revenue sharing was a part of our activity, that would be a reasonable amount and perhaps a compromise from what Senator Wilken has in his Senate bill and what might ultimately be the shape of a final bill to pass. I do want to underscore that we're not greedy people, we're just reasonable people, and we're trying to do our civic duty to look to ourselves first to make things happen. But there's no denying that there were probably 20 years of financial life in King Cove that had it not been for the state of Alaska there helping us, we wouldn't be to where we're at. And we're only hoping to recover some of the ground that we've all lost here in the last few years. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Henney. I appreciate your comments. We also have now back with us Valerie Canlis, the mayor of Wrangell. Madam Mayor, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Yes, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chairman Stevens. I want to thank Senator Wilkens for bringing forward this bill, and I would like to express our community's support for a sustainable community dividend program. It's going to be essential for not only our community, but others within the state. And I also would like to express my support for a minimum-based community support for the smaller communities, because they have set costs in order to maintain their communities, and the lower amounts that some of those would receive would probably not help them significantly. So we will be following the different bills that will be going through during this session, and we certainly wish you well as you move forward in this endeavor. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Madam Mayor. I really appreciate your comments as well. Is there anyone else we have not heard from? Senator Stedman?
Yes, I'd like to.
We've heard from you a lot, but I guess we'll let you get voted again.
I'm just warming up, Mr. Chairman. But I'm going to be out here in just a couple minutes.
I know.
Just like to express to Valerie, the mayor, Mayor Rangel, that we all recognize the need for help to our communities. And then we'll have a little discussion here what all we're going to encompass around that help. But at the end of the day, I'm sure the legislature will have some action.
Thank you, Senator. Is there anyone we've missed? We got everyone. Anyone in the audience would care to speak to us? Any comments from the members of the committee? Again, the intention is to hold this bill, and we have probably four other bills coming forward eventually. Senator Wilkin, any comments you care to make here in conclusion? Yes, please do. And please stay right there.
A couple. Senator Stedman and I, as folks testified, I found myself referring to a report that was put together by Legislative Research October 10th for your committee. And it's got a lot of good information, and I would commend it to this committee. It is revenue sharing in Alaska. And so that might be something that would be helpful for people to look at. It's a good summary and has a lot of good information, one of which is we tend to football revenue sharing around and think that we've been pikers in the past. But if you look on page 2, when we shut down revenue sharing in 2003, on a per capita basis across the nation, how we compared to the rest of the nation, we were number 7 in monies given to municipalities. So that's in here along with a lot of others. I looked, Sheila was good enough, these green tabs are the summary of the tabs on the summary sheets in the legislation. And I noticed there's 11 different proposals. Senator Ellis has one, so you're going to be busy for a while. But at the risk of sucking up to the minority, I do want to. it's my nature. Yeah. And not just because he's here, but I wanted to recognize in this first committee referral that, you know, you hang around here long enough and ideas keep hanging around and people keep shoving them forward and you shove them back. But in this case, Representative Moses, I mean, he's kept this in front of us year after year after year, ad nauseum. And, you know, and maybe now the time has come for. That shows that the work he's done as a minority to keep it in front of us has been work that's been worthwhile. And so I just, while he's here, and I just want to recognize that he's kind of the father of this. And while all the details are different, the concept is exactly what he's been preaching for quite some time. So I appreciate your leadership. Thank
you're
you.
Here.
Yes, thank you for pointing that out. That is great.
And with that, thank you for hearing the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate it. Again, we're not going to move on this bill, but we'll have several others before us in the next few weeks. Thank you very much, and this committee is adjourned.